Young Hearts Run Free by Gold-Hearted Sky, read by Cookie Mom 6067. Are you going to come back to the inn with us? Andromache shrugs, tucking a loose strand of her hair back into the loose chignon at the nape of her neck as she mutters, I think I'll meet you and Nicola later. I need a drink after today. They've been in Paris for the last few months, dealing with the fallout from the storming of the Bastille, with little to show that they've been doing anything worthwhile. It's exhausting, bloody work, and Andromache is just so fucking tired. And because of that, she needs a drink. And maybe a warm body under hers, but Joe doesn't need to know that much. Don't wait up for me, she teases, leaning in to kiss Joe on the cheek. Andromache pats his chest and winks at him. I'll meet you in the morning. The streets of Paris are cramped and dirty this late at night, but Andromache manages to find a tavern with relative ease. It's small and packed tight with bodies of revolutionaries and commoners, but she knows it's far easier to disappear in a crowd than an empty room. But before she even gets a chance to ask the man behind the high bar for a drink, one is placed in her hand. Andromache stares at the mug of ale in her hand and raises her eyebrow at the young man who leans one elbow on the bar and grins at her. Pardon for assuming, mademoiselle, but you didn't strike me as a woman who prefers wine. She takes a sip of the cheap beer, finding it surprisingly good for a French brew, and hums indecisively. The boy grins, his blue eyes hyper-focused on Andromache's face, as she says, It's not bad, but you would have done better to offer a woman a drink instead of simply putting it in her hand, she chides facetiously. It comes off as quite forward. The young man leans in even closer than she expects him to and brushes his fingertips over the outer edge of her wrist. And what should I do if that was my very intention, he asks, a smirk tugging on his lips. I knew I would have to do something rather bold to catch the attention of a woman as beautiful as yourself. Andromache throws her head back in a laugh, almost spilling her beer over her hand. Quite the charmer, aren't you? How old are you? She asks incredulously, and answer me truthfully. If I offer you the truth, you'll send me and all my hopes and dreams off into this terribly hot night alone, the boy says. But I'm old enough for a woman like you. She shakes her head, setting her beer down to grab the boy's jaw between her thumb and forefinger and looks at him intently. He's so young, all lanky limbs and overly broad shoulders and sharp cheekbones. But his eyes have a hidden age to them, despite the fact that he's staring at her like a lovesick schoolboy. I know I must be old enough to be your mother, Andromache says, more in disbelief in herself for allowing this to go where it's so clearly heading. Tell me how old you are, just so I know you're not a child, like I fear. He wraps his hand around her wrist and kisses her knuckles in one swift motion. I swear to you, mademoiselle, I'm more than old enough. Andromache doesn't bother to ask his name and doesn't offer her own as they walk back to the inn together. But it doesn't matter. When he grabs her and kisses her the moment they're behind closed doors, he's eager and a little brash, but he takes direction well, immediately sinking to his knees between her feet the moment Andromache tangles a hand through his blonde hair and pushes him down. He's green enough to still fumble with her body, something that Andromache really shouldn't find as endearing as she does, but the boy is still confident enough with his own that she knows she's not his first. Second, possibly, but not the first woman he's managed to sweet-talk into bed. She forgets how many times he brings her to release and knows that his count's not far behind hers. It's good and fast and fun, and she's starting to grow a little fond of this boy, even if she'll never admit to it. The candles burn low as she combs her fingers through his sweat-damp hair in blissful aftermath. Both of them so drained that all they can do is lay together, limbs tangled together. Andromache watches the young man's face with amusement as he hums and leans into her touch in cat-like contentment. I don't usually do this, you know, he murmurs, cracking one eye open. I'm not a womanizer or anything of the sort. She chuckles and tucks a blonde lock behind his ear. Oh, I'm well aware. If you were, I would be able to tell. The boy blushes, the rosy pink flush spreading all the way from his high cheekbones to the tips of his ears at her words. He chews on the inside of his lower lip for a moment before finally murmuring, I'm 19. His voice sounds laced with fear, like he doesn't want to ruin a beautiful night with the truth. When you asked earlier how old I was, I just turned 19. Andromache strokes her fingertips over his worried brow before leaning down to kiss him gently. So young, she whispers. You are going to make some girl very happy one day, but not someone like me. He grins, holding back a laugh. That's a shame because I do prefer older women. Wait, what do you mean you've only dreamt of us? Sebastian's head is spinning from the trauma and the information the two men are trying to force into his mind, so all he can do is shake his head and croak out a shaky, only you. The two other men look at each other in panic, suddenly talking to each other in a fast, frantic foreign language, before the one named Joe turns back at Sebastian, as a look of dread turns his face gray. We need to get home as soon as possible. Neither of the men explain it fully, but what he can gather is that, while Sebastian dreamt of Joe and Nicolo and Quinn, the woman in the ocean, there was another woman, Andromache, the first immortal. And while Joe and Nicolo don't say it out loud, he knows what fear looks like. They're worried something has happened to her. They're worried she perished in their absence and is no longer alive to be dreamt of. It's a long journey from Russia to Constantinople, but it becomes even more grueling when his two traveling companions hound Sebastian every morning to see if there was any sign of Andromache in his sleep, despite the answer remaining unchanged every time they ask. She exists only in stories and desperate descriptions, and Sebastian's starting to wonder if she even really exists. But when they do arrive, Nicolo is the first to race off into the house, shouting, Andromache? Andromache, are you all right? Sebastian swings his pack over his shoulder and follows Joe in, shrugging away from the older man's touch when Joe tries to lead him. He's still trying to figure out his place in the world, now that he can no longer die, but the wounds still feel fresh. But the ache turns to complete confusion when he walks through the door and sees a familiar dark-haired woman standing there, talking to a frantic Nicolo reassuringly. She looks exactly the same as she did when Sebastian first saw her, and his pack falls to the ground with a crashing thud. Mademoiselle? Her head snaps over to look at him, her brow furrowing in confusion as Joe and Nicola's faces slowly mirror hers. What did you just call me? She asks, taking a step towards him. Sebastian swallows thickly, a weak laugh bubbling up his throat in disbelief. I know I said I preferred older women, he mumbles, but I didn't think you were that old. Her mouth drops open as the realization dawns on her face. A sharp, short noise of alarm rips out of her throat, and after a brief moment of bewilderment, both Joe and Nicolo realize what's going on. Wait, Nicolo starts, looking between the two of them. You two have met each other before, haven't you? Sebastian nods dazedly, an uncontrollable smirk tugging on his lips. That's one way to put it. Andromache's face turns even redder and she's still frozen in place, even as the words sink in, Joe and Nicolo's mouths dropping open in unison. Oh my God, Joe gasps. You slept with him? We haven't been in France since, his eyes go wide, since the Bastille, 1789? She shakes her head, croaking. No, I'm not doing this, before turning on her heel and stumbling away down the hall. Wait, Sebastian, how old were you? Nicolo asks quickly. I had just turned 19, he laughs. Joe cups his hands around his mouth and shouts after her. Andromache, I don't know what's worse, the fact that he was basically a child, or that you somehow fucked the immortality into him. Sebastian bursts out laughing, any anxious worries slipping away quickly. Once Andromache comes back around, he has a feeling they'll have a lot of catching up to do. The end.